Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing at 102.5 underscore MD for your chance to win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. Your most unpopular Christmas take. Marquise Munson doesn't like Christmas Story. That's weird. I don't think we should give gifts to each other outside of children. I think children are... Kids are second. Kids deserve gifts. That's cool. They get excited about it. I get it. I don't want to take the joy away from everybody. But adults giving gifts to other adults doesn't strike me as something we need to do on Christmas. I've been trying to get my family to adopt this, and it has not worked. So that makes it very unpopular in my family. That's my unpopular Christmas take. What is yours? At 1025 underscore MD. And we'll give away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa coming up in about 30 minutes from now. Derek, you will give yours away in just a few minutes. I wanted a Predators win last night, by the way, 8-3. Back-to-back wins over the New York teams, picking up 4 points. They moved from 11th to 9th in the standings, and they scored 13 goals in the process. 7 unanswered last night. Everybody in on the action, including Forsberg, Johansson, all those guys getting involved. So the big names doing big work yesterday after trailing 3-1 in the second period. So we've talked a lot about the Preds today. I want to have there's a Titans take I've got for you, but it's really a Joe Burrow take. And I wanted to float this. I am aware and prepared for everyone to think I'm crazy. I am, which probably is the case anyway. I'm aware that on Twitter, people are going to react a certain way to this. And I get it. And Derek, I know this is your guy. I think, tell me if I'm crazy here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask me to draw a comparison to an NFL quarterback that has played in the league and been very good for Joe Burrow, the comparison I would draw at 6'3", 220, with some smooth mobility and cool, calm, collected under fire, accuracy, hard worker, teammates love him, I'm drawing the comparison to Steve McNair. Do you have a problem with that? Am I insane?
I don't think you're – obviously, he's not from a – he's not as thick as Steve. Steve was built more like a running back or a fullback. But you're right from the standpoint of a guy just – he does his job. He doesn't ever look as if he's rattled. It's just smooth, and he go about his business and – guys love him because he works hard.
Keeps his mouth shut.
Yeah, don't say
much.
Yeah, doesn't complain. Just go about his business. Obviously, the game has changed a lot. But, you know, what Steve McNair was doing in 1995 or four
at Alcorn State,
at Alcorn State, they are now doing now. So he was throwing the ball all willy-nilly before he and Ty Detmer were the guys that were just throwing the ball around the yard.
And
before.
And Houston, like Andre Ware, Klingler.
But you got those guys who were way ahead of them. They were way ahead of their time. Mouse Davis and his offense that they ran in Houston. I believe he was the offensive coordinator, head coach there. But yeah, I can see.
And they're not two different body types. The body types aren't.
Similarity.
Joe's a little more slender because he might be a little taller. But like
Steve's arm is stronger.
I would agree with that.
But, you know, I think it's not far-fetched to say those two. I can see those two guys being one and the same.
Because I've been trying to find a comparison for Joe Burrow. Like, who does he remind me of skill set-wise? Build, makeup, mentality, toughness, you know, hard work. The locker room loves him. Mm-hmm. You know, Burrow's going to probably be listed about 6'3 and a half, 220. That's about where Steve was. Again, maybe distributed a little differently, but you know, Steve probably had a thicker lower body. I've struggled to find the comp for Joe Burrow. I'm trying to who is the guy he reminds me of? Like he's not cut from the same, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Carson Wentz 6'5 cloth. He's not cut from the Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson run around speed athleticism cloth. Mm-hmm. He's not really that. Who is he? Who does he remind me of? And the only guy I can come up with that sort of is mobile, will sling it all over the place, has all the same attributes, is McNair. And I'm sure there's somebody else out there.
Yeah, I was trying to think of someone else.
He's hard to find a comp for.
Yes, because he's not, like you said, he's not 6'5". He doesn't have this rocket arm. He's not the fastest, but he's athletic. He can move around in a pocket.
He does it without you thinking it's athletic. All of a sudden, he's like gone. He's picked up 15 yards.
It's hard to find a comparison. Now, listen, a lot of people are going to compare him to – he's not Tom Brady. And he and Tom Brady are not the same guy. They're comparing those two guys, no. One of them's an athlete. His skill set is much different than Tom Brady's skill set. The one thing that they do have is a high IQ for the game. That's where it stopped.
I agree.
But it's going to be hard to find a comp to Joe Burrow.
The best one I can find, and it doesn't work because their body types are very different, is Drew Brees. I think he throws the ball.
But he's more athletic than Drew Brees.
Well, Brees is more athletic than you think back in the day. Coming out of college.
I'm looking at him now.
At Purdue, man, he could run. He could play a little bit, and he's always had good feet. Mm-hmm. But again, Drew Brees was 6 foot.
Yeah.
And so the only, like, there's a different, but I think from a, like, leadership, poise in the pocket, reading a defense, progressions mentally going through your process as a quarterback, I think there's a very good comparison for Drew Brees with Joe Burrow. He's just significantly bigger. Mm-hmm. And like you said, maybe even more athletic. So I think, all right, who's Drew Brees, but a little bit more athletic and a little bit bigger? And you know, Brees is probably a more accurate passer than Steve was, but Steve McNair is the guy I keep coming back to.
You know what? I think he's a much more improved Jared Goff.
Yeah, but Goff is so skinny.
I know, but I think he's a
Goff probably has a better arm too.
To me, he gives you the movement in a pocket. He can throw the football. I think that the offense that Goff is in allows him to probably be better than what he really is. And he's not a bad quarterback. I just think that you're right. Even trying to think about it, it's hard to find a comp. Who would be, because everybody's going to say Tom Brady. As soon as Tom Brady. No, he's not Tom Brady. He's not even comparable to Tom Brady. The intelligence is where it stops. After that, no, they are not the same quarterback. No way, no how. I don't know, man. Is he more Russell Wilson than anything else?
I don't think the athletic ability to extend the play. I get Russell Wilson is just so much more. He's just faster. He's just more of an athlete. Like he's just going to run. Whereas again, Mac didn't do as much of that
in
the NFL.
Is he a better Matt Stafford?
You know, Matt Stafford, from a size standpoint, is pretty similar. But the major difference there is Matt Stafford can throw a football to Mars.
Exactly.
And Joe Burrow's arm is going to be his one. The only area that I think scouts are going to ding him a little bit are going to be his fastball. He does not have the same 98-mile-an-hour fastball that, like, a Matt Stafford has. But, again, if you really look, if you try, go back through the tapes and look at the stats and remember watching a guy play, it's really hard to find a comp for a guy like Joe Burrow. Who, it's all about the processing speed and the leadership and the and the hard work, and the teammates love him, and the poise and how smooth he is and how fluid he is, and he makes all the right decisions, and he's 6'3", 220. Like, you go through this whole thing and you start to, like, work your way down the comps, and you're like, well, he's not Big Ben, he's not Phillip Rivers, he's not Eli Manning, he's not Aaron Rodgers, he's not Russell Wilson, he's not, like, you go down all these lists of names. Like, he's not Matt Ryan. Like,
no.
you look at these skill sets of these different players. And I worked my way down, and I got to – I'm looking at Steve McNair's numbers one day, like yesterday, and I'm just going, wait a second, hang on. Better athlete, you know, pretty good athlete, same size, teammates love him, keeps his – doesn't complain about injuries, right? Like, I just started adding it all up, and I'm like, maybe Mac is the comparison. And maybe I'm crazy, but I don't know.
I mean, it could be. It's just that it's so hard, you know, because he's not – you know, because everyone's going to, you know, when Trevor Lawrence come out, everyone's going to compare him to, you know, one of these guys.
See,
that was 6'5".
He reminds me of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, it's like these size big 6'5 guys that can move around the pocket. But, you know, Joe Burrow doesn't fit into that category. Joe Burrow is more of a Joe Montana than anything.
It's why I like the Breeze comp the most. He's just Steve's size and athletic ability.
Yeah.
So it's almost like an in-between Breeze and Steve McNair. So if you're the Bengals and you're picking first, how do you pass on a combo of Steve McNair and Drew Breeze?
No,
you can't pass. From Ohio?
Yeah.
Come on.
If you pass on him, something's seriously wrong with you and management. If you pass on this guy, you got the number one pick. There's no question who's the – I wouldn't even try to disguise who I'm taking. Listen,
that's the guy
that I'm taking, and so be it.
He mentioned the hungry children of the state of Ohio in his Heisman speech. He's Ohio through and through.
This is
Cincinnati. Yeah. What are you doing?
This shouldn't be. Well, who is Cincinnati going to take?
Right.
Are they going to chase Chase Young, or Joe Burrow, or Tua Tagovailoa? No.
Who was it that got? Wasn't there like two or three guys that got signed before the draft a couple of years? Wasn't it? Was it Jadeveon Clowney that was signed like the day before the draft started? As the number one pick.
Know.
There was another one, too, and we'll look this up during the break. There was a couple of guys where they actually signed a contract like the day before the draft had started because they had already told you, hey, we're taking you number one or whatever, and then they actually negotiated.
It might have been.
Maybe there's some new rules.
Jadeveon Clowney or Indianapolis.
No, Mario Williams. Other Texans defensive end.
Oh.
Wasn't it Mario Williams that was signed to a contract like the day before the draft actually took place?
We need to check on that.
Bengals, call Joe Burrow's management right now, even though he's not allowed to have it. call him right now. Get the deal done. Get the.
Start working on the deal right now.
Start working on the deal right now. Nashville won a pretty cool award yesterday. We'll explain when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Tune in to 102.5 The Game on Monday, December 30th for the 2019 Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium. Listen in as Louisville takes on Mississippi State. Coverage of the game is sponsored by Hi-Fi Buys, Houston Clinic Orthopedics, and Holly Garenzen, your local GEICO agent. Tickets are available to purchase on Ticketmaster.com. I just looked up the numbers for Steve McNair. He averaged 22.3 yards rushing per game in his career. Now, he had a great year rushing in 97, his first season as a starter. He had over 600 yards. But essentially, this was a 25-ish per game rushing guy, which is right around where Marcus actually is for the Titans. I could see Joe Burrow picking up a couple of first downs a game.
Yeah, he's not
20, 25 yards a game.
Yeah, he's not looking to run out of necessity.
Right.
And his tip is usually it's, you know, third down, fourth quarter, or we really need this first down.
Play that breaks down,
exactly.
You make a play. You know, Burrow's probably a little taller. Mac was a little thicker, as you said, so that's kind of where the comp maybe ends there. But it's hard to find one for Joe Burrow, that's for sure. The Sports Business Journal named Nashville, Tennessee, the number one sports town in America. And I think at first blush, you hear that and you go,
how can that be?
Yeah, like the Preds are amazing. They're competing at a high level. They sell out every game. The fans are great. The All-Star game you know, thousands of people in the streets for the Stanley Cup. None of that's about 2019, obviously, but the Preds are carrying their weight and then some, obviously, with what they do. It, certainly, Nashville SC is poised to be a great organization moving mm-hmm. forward, but they haven't started playing yet. That's not till 2020. The Titans have this. They haven't won anything in 20 years since you played there. Mm-hmm. They, you know, one division title in like 18 years or whatever. And, you know, they're having this weird sort of trying to figure out what their relationship is with the fans. Vanderbilt baseball is the best program maybe in America, but isn't. Where does college baseball rank? Certainly, First Tennessee Park is a blast to go hang out at and watch games, but it's more about the business side of things. And remember, this is from the Business Sports Journal. So when you think of Nashville as a sports town, you don't think of championships. But what you do think about is destination. You think about the NFL draft making $135 million and 600,000 people coming through the city over a weekend. You think about the SEC tournament and Kentucky and Tennessee being hosted in an unbelievable Saturday afternoon game and the rest of that tournament. You think mm-hmm. of, you know, the way that this city can host big events. And so from that perspective, I think Nashville is worthy of being mentioned amongst the best sports cities in America. But I think you have to sort of tweak your understanding of that phrase, right? Like, what's the best sports town in America? You don't think of, well, it's a destination everyone wants to go to and travel to and experience. That's not – I think championships. I think Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? At first glance, when you look at that – and you see Nashville as the number one sports city, you know, the first thing you say is, what? Are you crazy? Especially people in the Northeast. Yeah, it's Boston.
You're not one of the four, not one of the cities that has the big four, right?
Exactly, yeah. So like how can you
You don't have baseball, you don't have basketball.
The best sport town if you don't have all four major sports. Well, if you start to dive into it, like you said, Braden, it's the Business Journal. It's not about having four major sports. It's about the income that sports, a sporting event, brings to your city that particular year. And if you look at what the NFL did compared to what it did the previous year in Dallas, it was a 79% increase to revenue when they chose to have it here in Nashville. So yep. From that aspect, yes, they were. Yes, you can see why Nashville would have been considered in the Business Journal yep. as the number one sports city. Now, if you're talking championships, yeah. It's totally different. That's a different conversation.
And also, if you're Butch Spiridon or Scott Ramsey and you're people that run and manage either the tourism side of this city mm-hmm. or the hotel side of this city or the sports, you know, side of this city. If you're any of those people, you take this, you put it on a plaque, and you celebrate like crazy.
Absolutely.
Because you've earned it. And it's an awesome honor to get. It's a great award. I do think that the casual sports fan in Philly mm-hmm. or Chicago or New York or Boston is gonna go like, come on, what do y'all want?
Come on.
What do y'all want? Well, that's not what this is about. This is about you want to come hang out
here,
don't you?
Well, we have won the revenue battle.
Yeah, right. Like, do you come down here and spend your money? Because those dollars work for us.
Yeah.
Like,
and
we're cool with
that. They're basing it on the revenue that a sporting event brings that particular year. And listen, the NFL draft brought a lot of money to the city of Nashville.
And we did it better mm-hmm. than every other place that's done
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So,
objectively
can't
speaking,
argue that.
Objectively speaking, not our opinions.
Uh-huh.
Philly, Chicago, Dallas, all great events for the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. Nobody did it as well as we did.
Absolutely.
Nobody put on the show, the visual show, the musical entertainment. I mean, everything was second to none, and it was the most successful NFL draft
now,
in the history of the draft.
I can't wait to see it. And is it Vegas next year?
I think so. And then there's Canton, and then I think has got it.
I can't
wait
to see it in Vegas, because just like the Vegas Knights, after they saw what the Predators did,
took all of our stuff.
They said, "You know what? We're gonna do it times."
Finest form of flattery, imitation.
So they were able to do it well.
I think Vegas, because the Knights have been so successful, and also if you think about it, there's probably like four. I think there's four different conferences mm-hmm. in college basketball that have their conference tournament in Vegas. The Pac-12 is one of them. And I know people in Nashville don't pay attention to like Mountain West basketball or, you know, West Coast Conference basketball or Pac-12 basketball. But pretty soon the Pac-12 football championship needs to be moved to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have, I think, either a baseball team or a basketball team moving to Vegas. You got the Raiders moving to Vegas. The draft is going to go to Vegas. I assume the NHL All-Star Game will be out there at some point very soon.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what Vegas is going to do, and they're going to win one of these awards soon, too, because it's such a destination tourism-driven city that everyone's going to travel to that town. And that's what we have built into our city is, especially like hockey teams. Like, I can't remember the number of games I've gone to where it's Ottawa or it's Edmonton or it's Calgary or it's one of these teams, and there's just droves of fans wearing Edmonton jerseys downtown because their trip, everyone wants to come to Nashville.
Yeah. No, you're right.
This ain't rocket science here.
It's just the proof is in the pudding, and there's a lot of proof in the Nashville pudding.
Yeah. Right no question about it.
I have.
Oh, you're going to want to give, how about after the break?
Okay. After the break, I have my.
Your unpopular.
Unpopular.
Christmas.
Absolutely.
Derek Mason's. After the break. I don't know how you guys work when you're at home or you're in the office. A lot of people listen to music. I've recently started watching movies while I do work, which is really strange because it's like I just want to keep an eye on the movie and, you know, do some work. And I told you guys about Arachnophobia. It turns out my father-in-law thinks Arachnophobia is a terrible movie, and I'm offended by that. John Goodman was great in that film. But I for some reason yesterday, I'm sitting down, I'm working, and I saw it. The weirdest thing triggers you, and I see an ad for, like, Mission Impossible. And I like the Mission Impossible movies. They're solid. But I have not seen the newest one, Fallout, whatever it's called. I haven't seen the newest one. So I go to my Xfinity box. I pull up my Xfinity remote. I grab the little remote. I push the little Xfinity voice remote button. I say Mission Impossible into the remote. I didn't even know I had access to Mission Impossible Fallout. Didn't even know I had that movie. And sure enough, I've got it on some channel somewhere on demand. And sure enough, I put it on. I keep working. Now I'm watching Tom Cruise fly all over the universe trying to save the world from nuclear war. Because I didn't even know I had it. But Xfinity takes care of me. The X1 voice remote is their bread and butter. They do so many things well. I've got the home security app. I've got the Wi-Fi. You can add mobile to your package and save some cash as well. But the TV is their bread and butter. And the Xfinity X1 voice remote, you don't need to know the channels. You don't need to even know if you've got the movie or the content that you want. You just say it into the remote, and it'll tell you if you've got it. It'll give you all the different watch options. Find out if it's on a different platform, whether it's Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever. It'll tell you. It was on a channel that I happened to get, and it was on demand, and I started watching Mission Impossible Fallout yesterday. Just like that. I wanted to see it. I asked Xfinity, and Xfinity delivered. Check out the X1 voice remote. You'll never go back. We're not using the other guys anymore. Xfinity.com, 1-800-XFINITY, or pop into an Xfinity store today for more details. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We will give away a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa $100 gift card momentarily as we scroll through all the most popular Christmas takes of the year. Marquise Munson's most unpopular Christmas take is Christmas Story is a bad movie.
Yeah.
A few people on the text line chiming in and agreeing with him. I think I'm okay with Christmas Story. I like Christmas Story.
Yeah, there's one in the text line that goes
it's way
deep,
too deep.
Way deep.
We weren't trying to go there.
Like, I just don't like the movie personally.
He was talking about like societal issues and like gender roles and stuff. It's crazy.
A little bit too much.
Listen, you can't relitigate all past art, okay? Yeah. You can't go back and listen to every song and every movie and every book and try to rewrite it all because it happened and it was a different time and it's okay that it was a different time and that we've evolved. End of rant. My unpopular Christmas take is I don't think adults should give other gifts to adults. Mm-hmm. Adults and adults should not be giving gifts to each other. Do something for somebody who needs it and we can give gifts to our children. Mm-hmm. I know that's not popular. I get it. I have a few people on Twitter saying, preach on, but other than that, most everybody probably disagrees with me, so I get it. Huge Titans news coming up in just a second that could change the actual dynamic of the next 2 weeks of the season, but you need to give away your unpopular Christmas take.
Yeah,
very quickly.
My unpopular Christmas take is this, and listen, I'm not trying to make anyone upset.
Yeah, you are.
But I am just telling you from my perspective, in my household, how I grew up, that I'm not letting a bearded big guy take the credit for the presents that I work hard for. So
earmuffs.
Yeah. So I am the one that buys the presents. You know, I worked hard and I bought those presents. And I told my kids that I bought those presents. Now, listen, you can tell your kids whatever you want to tell them. That's up to you. OK, because, you know, the big guy with a big beard, he's multicultural to me. He doesn't have a color. He's just, to me, he's just whatever you, he is what he is. But he couldn't come in my house. He just couldn't come in my house. Said, hey, no, thank you. See, you go next door. They need it more than me. Go next door. Can't come in my house. Because in my house, I work hard, damn hard to buy these presents.
You answer the way where you answer the door and be like, hey.
Yeah.
You look fella. To the people, you see it Santa, you're like, yeah. Nah.
Big fella.
You turn all the lights out and like pretend you're not home. Yeah.
Turn on the lights, you look at the window, he sees you looking through like the blinds.
Look, we love you.
Yeah, big fella.
But the neighbors need you more.
They need you more across the street, down the street, next neighborhood. I'm closing my chimney. You're not coming down that. As a matter of fact, I don't even have one. So you can't come in my house. You know why you can't come in my house?
Because you're too prideful.
Because I work damn hard to buy my children these presents. And that's the way I do it. And there are people that feel like me because we have one person that tweeted us.
I know.
Or texted us, one of the two.
I know.
So I'm not the only person in the world that feels that way.
I think, I don't think anything. I'm speechless. I think Santa Claus, my kids are so excited for Santa Claus to show up.
And that is great. They should be.
Oh, they can't wait.
Are they going to leave them cookies?
Do what?
Are they going to leave them cookies?
Yeah. Nope. Oh, yeah. We got to leave carrots out, too.
I've never heard the carrot Rudolph. Thing.
Oh, yeah, we always leave carrots and cookies out because
I don't
even
let Rudolph come.
Look, man, the reindeer get hungry, too, dog.
I don't even let Rudolph come.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Nope. Now I make Rudolph take
his... It might damage my roof.
Well, he tracks mud in the house, too.
He might damage my roof, too.
I tell Rudolph, dude, you got to eat that carrot outside.
Yeah.
I put a plate of carrots outside, and we do the cookies inside. Uh-huh. Santa's allowed inside the house because he cleans his boots. He's real careful about that. You know, he shines his shoes. But Rudolph has to stay outside to eat the carrots. Yeah. But we definitely put the carrots out for Rudolph because, you know, the reindeers get hungry, too.
So, again, it is I
don't say it again. Just stop.
That buy the presents.
Stop.
And I tell the big guy... Hey, there's somebody next door that needs it more than we do.
Fair enough.
Another neighborhood. So there you go.
Picking on old big guy. here is some huge news for you Tennessee Titans fans. Ryan Succop has been placed on injured reserve, ending his 2019 season, and the Titans have signed Greg Joseph. Who's Greg Joseph, you might add? Greg Joseph was signed by the Miami Dolphins early 2018, last year. Mm-hmm. He was cut. The Browns picked him up. And he actually kicked pretty well. He was 17 of 20 in 2018. That's 85%, which is like literally twice as good as the Titans this year. Mm-hmm. He did not miss a field goal under 40 yards for the Cleveland Browns last season. Played in 14 games. He was 17 of 20. He made 25 out of 29 extra points for them. He had 47 touchbacks and 69 kickoffs. So you're talking about more than a two-thirds ratio there, almost 70% rate of kickoff rates. We know that Ryan Santoso was cut yesterday off the team, or he was waived, excuse me. He was on the Carolina Panthers practice squad as of just a couple of weeks ago, November 25th. The Panthers added Greg Joseph to their practice squad. The Titans have now added Greg Joseph to be their kicker and active and will be kicking this weekend as Ryan Succop hits IR. So these special teams issues, Derek, that you and I have talked about for weeks now, the Tennessee Titans are finally admitting that they needed to do something different and that Ryan Succop wasn't fully ready to go or prepared or healthy or whatever you want to call it. He was not good enough. He finished 1 of 6 kicking field goals this year. Mm-hmm. They tried Santos. They tried Parkey. They tried Santoso. Now they're going to try Greg Joseph.
Well, that it should have been – a telling sign to people when Succop wasn't the kickoff guy because he had been. And that should have told you that he wasn't fully healthy, that he wasn't fully ready to go. And I'm not going to sit here and say they rushed him back. I don't know, but
I felt like they did.
If you got a guy that's been kicking off and then all of a sudden you say, you're just going to do the field goal. That tells you that the strength it does somewhat tell you that the strength in his leg wasn't quite there. He didn't have it all the way back. So hopefully go on IR, he come back 100% next year and is able to get back to the kicker he was prior to the injury. But they're going to need this new kicker, I'm telling you. They're going to need him these last two games.
I totally agree. I'm just curious who in that building thinks this move was too late. And we'll never know. Like, we're not going to find out. But, you know, who made the decision to continue with Ryan Succop and Santoso? I'm assuming it's a Vrabel-Robinson brain sort of mix and meld there. But mm-hmm. Something had to be done, and probably something should have been done weeks ago.
Yeah.
The Raiders game, you miss a field goal at half going into the half. What if that game was close and you needed him at the end of that half? Last week you lose by three, not because of the blocked field goal. I don't think that's fair. I don't think you say, hey, you lost the game because you blocked a field goal, but it was the point differential.
It was one of other reasons. It was one of the biggest reasons that you lost that game.
Yeah. And you just keep adding the special teams thing. Again, I think it's the sum of the parts is greater than the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's like the opposite here. It wasn't just the blocked field goal and going 1-for-6 on field goals. That's an issue, certainly. But it's also the fact that you can't get the ball into the end zone on touchbacks. Mm-hmm. The onside kick was like a wet blanket. It was just so pathetic, the onside kick. You're carrying two guys to do the job of one. It was just the combination of it all that was going. Special teams is clearly going to cost this team at some point. And, listen, you made a couple of big plays blocking kicks against the Chiefs and the Colts, and that masked some of the issues. You could not live like that and win games in the NFL. You got to have a better solution. And listen, you look at Greg Joseph and his numbers for Cleveland last year. He has not kicked this year. Mm-hmm. But last year, 17 out of 20 in field goals, 25 out of 29 on the extra points. He looked like at least mildly efficient. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've scouted a lot of Greg Joseph, okay? I haven't. Okay?
I sat down for an hour.
I don't scout the Carolina Panthers practice squad kickers, okay? That's just not what I do. But you know what? He's going to be out there kicking this weekend. Succop's on IR. Ryan Succop on IR. The breaking news, Tennessee Titans have signed Greg Joseph, the place kicker, to the 53-man roster, placed Ryan Succop on injured reserve, and he will now be – his season is done – and Greg Joseph will be your kicker for the final two games and anything if they make the playoffs. So pretty big news for the Titans coming out here in the last few minutes of the show. And I'm assuming all the boys, Darren, Donick, and Chase, will have a big breakdown for you because that's a pretty big move, I think, for the Titans to do. I wonder if it changes anything.
Is it a little bit too late?
If it was too little too late, I wonder.
Well, we'll never know.
Well, if they make the playoffs and he makes some kicks, then the answer is probably no. Could you have won the Houston game with a better kicker? I don't know if it's fair to say that. That's my problem is there's so many other plays, like the defense couldn't stop Deshaun Watson. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like there's still so many other plays.
Yeah, there were because to me there were, if Firkser catches the football in the end zone.
Right. Like
what if Simmons doesn't get the tip pass? And they intercept the ball, and the Titans intercept it. What if the Titans don't get that interception? It's just a lot of things that went on in that game that you just can't pinpoint it, even though I know it was a three-point game. You just can't pinpoint it to, that's the reason why they lost, because of the blocked field goal. Yeah, it's a part of it, but there are other things that happened in that game, too.
And to me, again, I don't know how many games you can point to. Like, I can't look at the Carolina game and say you lost the game because of a kicker. I mean, I think, again, my guess is that you rushed Ryan Succop back. The fact that he's being placed on IR today means that he wasn't right.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell us that he's totally fine if he's not making kicks, can't get the ball into the end zone, and now you're putting him on IR. So clearly something was wrong with him. And clearly you brought him back probably a little too early. I don't know if Cody Parkey was the answer, if Kairos Santos was the answer. I don't know. But we'll find out if Greg Joseph is the answer, and you still got two. You had to do something with two games to go. I like that they're making the move now. This is one of the things I do love about John Robinson. When he screws up, and maybe he screwed up here, maybe he didn't, but when he does make a mistake, he is quick to acknowledge that mistake and say, you know what, Kevin Dodd? Sorry, that was a bad pick. You're gone.
See ya.
Like, he's fine with that. Like, he doesn't have a problem. Josh Klein, get big contract, cut him. See ya, you're gone. Like, He generally is pretty good about admitting mistakes and moving on. All right, we'll give away a $100 gift card to a Moments Pizza Salon and Day Spa. The big breaking news, Titans place Ryan Succop on IR and sign Greg Joseph. He was on the Carolina Panthers practice squad this year, was 17 out of 20 for the Cleveland Browns last season. So we'll find out. Does it help him win a couple of games down the stretch? We'll give away a gift card and the Daily Rewind, the Big Finish, when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a Big Finish on Morning Drive.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and giving away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa every single day. You got to be tweeting at 102.5 underscore MD. And today's question was most unpopular Christmas take, just in general. Marquise doesn't like Christmas Story. Uh-huh. I don't like adults giving other adults gifts, especially if there are so many people in our society and communities that are in need. I would much rather, instead of you giving me a $25 gift or a $50 gift, give that money to somebody who needs it more than I do. So I'm big on that. And Derek,
I am not giving the big guy with the white beard credit for
the
presents.
Work you
yeah,
did.
Too. Absolutely. Pride, he doesn't
cometh,
get the credit.
Pride cometh before the fall, my friend.
He's not getting the credit.
The winner is Elliot, and I'm not going to lie, Elliot hit me in my sweet spot here, and that is buying another adult a Christmas gift is stupid. I have a job. If there's something I want, I'll buy it for myself. Buy something for someone less fortunate. You wouldn't think this would be unpopular, but my family gets really annoyed when I bring it up. Heathens. It's also really not what the Christmas holiday is about. Spending money at retailers for products is not exactly what Christmas got started. If my memory serves me correctly, I don't believe that's what the holiday was about.
Nah. I don't think they had Walmarts back then.
No,
yeah,
not really.
I think it was like wherever you got the myrrh, you know, like myrrh. You had to go buy some myrrh to give to little baby Jesus, like that. I don't know where you get the myrrh store is,
well,
back in the day, but
sure didn't get it at Toys R Us.
I don't even know what myrrh is.
Yeah,
frankincense. I know what that is. I think
you didn't get it from Costco or any other place.
You
I
get
you
some
that.
Myrrh at bulk.
Exactly.
I need some myrrh in bulk, please. And we got something
also,
else to give away, right? More free stuff.
Yes, more free stuff. It's the season of giving. So we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets to Monster Jam Triple Threat Series at Bridgestone Arena. You'll see Gravedigger, ooh, Blue Thunder, ooh, El Toro Loco, and more. So, if you want to win these tickets, this 4-pack, be caller number 3. Caller number 3.
You're an idiot. Caller number 3. Win. All right, let's rewind it back, Marquise. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Good Wednesday morning. The Predators just kept scoring goals last night, boys. Off to their second game in a 4-game road trip here, of course, in the Eastern Conference. They're off to Ottawa. They're off to Canada now. And they got Boston, obviously, with a huge one coming up. But you go into the Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, on Monday night, and you can score 5 goals. Even if 2 of them were an empty netter and it wasn't exactly the prettiest game, doesn't matter. You take your 5 goals and your 2 points, and you head out to Long Island, and you score 8 goals.
I thought they was playing in front of Oprah.
8 goals.
You get a goal. You get a goal.
I think
you get a goal. Can we, as an attribute, can we now put in RV-ness as an attribute?
Like on the Madden?
Yeah,
or
on
like
the Madden, like
NHL,
RV-ness, yeah.
NHL 2020.
Everybody has RV-ness. How much RV-ness do you have in you? That should be an attribute.
Don't miss tonight's Smashville Live featuring WWE star Eric Young and Marquise. I know Chase McCabe will be hosting that show. Did you help Chase McCabe prepare for this interview with WWE star Eric Young, since you guys are such wrestlers?
Well, I don't need to prepare Chase McCabe for anything because he's a constant professional, so I don't have to help him with anything.
And a consummate professional as well.
Exactly.
Constable.
He's the constable and a constant professional, as well as a consummate professional. And watch out when he's wearing his badge.
Exactly.
He feels very... He feels
dangerous.
A little... Yeah, he feels a little froggy when he's got that badge. It's a little weird. You know, like, my daughter's into Toy Story right now, big time. Woody has that little badge on. I feel like that's the constable sometimes.
Which
I look
Toy
at
Story? Which one?
Just...
Which one?
Woody's the same character in all of them.
No, I'm saying which Toy Story does she like? One?
Well,
two?
We got her started with one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We have... I'm not taking her to the theater to watch Toy Story 4, but... no, she... You know the little badge Woody wears? The little badge? I feel like sometimes that's the constable with his body parts flailing around and like his little badge.
Yeah, that could be.
No? Too much? But he's going to be perfect for tonight's Smashville Live. I can't wait to listen. It's going to be great tonight, 7 o'clock out in Puckett's in Murfreesboro. He knows what he's doing. And Marquise is right. You don't have to prepare Chase McCabe for a WWE interview.
Yeah, you don't, man. That's like a cakewalk for Chase McCabe, man. That's
easy money.
It's like Christmas, man.
It's going to be a fun show. So check that out. Derek and I have already argued about this twice the last 2 days. We will not argue about it on the show because I don't want to be like every other radio show in the history of the world. We will not discuss Die Hard.
But I had confirmation yesterday.
See, you're trying to goat me here, and I'm not going to take the bait with this.
I got confirmation now.
You didn't get confirmation of nothing.
Yes,
stop.
I did.
I told you we're not going to do this.
Wikipedia is right, okay?
I can go. You know I can go
100% of the time.
You know I can go in and change Wikipedia right now. I'm going to do it during the break. I'm going to change it. Wes Rucker from Go Balls 24/7 joining us here on the program.
I think they actually feel pretty good about this class. Now I know they're going to go out there. They're going to have their press conference at some point today, and they're going to say what everybody else says, right? Oh, this is the greatest class. You know, we got everything we wanted. Blah 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 blah. I think Tennessee actually will sort of mean that to some extent. I think that they got a lot of what they wanted in this class. Now they didn't get everybody, but I think they feel pretty good about this group. I think some of these guys have a chance to kind of prove how big, in their opinion, they.
I just hate what it has become.
I don't think that's unpopular.
Yeah,
though.
You're right. But
like, if you say that about Valentine's Day,
yeah.
I think everyone's like, oh yeah, you're right. Like, Valentine's Day is just a marketer's holiday. Don't get me wrong.
The worst
holiday of
all the holidays.
Like, I don't need a day to tell my wife and I.
Valentine's Day is probably the worst holiday. Yeah.
My wife and I have always agreed, like, we just don't need a day to make sure we tell each other that, like, we love each other.
But we have
Or do nice things for each other.
We have Sweeties Day. We do that all the time. Up north. Sweeties Day. That's an extension of Valentine's.
Sweeties Day?
Yeah, they have Valentine's Day and then Sweeties Day.
It sounds awful.
I know, it is. It's just another marketing tool.
Do you grow out of Sweeties Day? Is that like a teenage thing?
I hope, yeah. I mean,
It sounds like a It sounds like when Marquise proposed with his promise ring to his high school girlfriend? I think he did it on Sweeties Day. Sean Henry joining us here on Morning Drive.
You know, one thing I love about the city, and I knew this before I even got here, we do big events really well, and I think that's something Scott Hamilton always talks about. So whenever we go after something, we get it, whether it be the NFL draft, the All-Star game, NHL All-Star game, the 2022 U.S. Figure Skating Championships, you name it. If we set our sights on it, we'll get it, and then we'll also do it bigger and better and more uniquely than any other city, which then changes how that event's celebrated for years after. You know, when we threw our hat in the ring for the MLS team as a city, it wasn't one guy, unfortunately, a great owner in John Ingram, but it was the entire city saying, we're getting it. And we were the 2024th team entering that race. There was no way in the world we should have gotten it, but we did. And it really does show that it is a great community of sports. It's a great city of people that support everything that we all try to do. And it is fun being able to lock arms with people that others think are our rivals, where we're not. You know, we're all kind of big cheerleaders for each other.
Christmas Story is trash.
What?
Christmas Story is trash.
Hey, can we leave now? Can we leave and let Munson do the show?
You know,
it's unpopular opinion. Christmas Story was trash.
There is a parking lot outside we can go to if you'd like to go.
I mean, we can go. I just rolled up my sleeves.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, y'all going to
We can take it outside.
Oh, y'all going to double team a brother.
I understand giving gifts to kids. I'm totally on board with that.
Yes.
I just don't, there's nothing, don't get me wrong, I love giving gifts to people when they, and it's great, and I get all of the reason behind doing it. That's not what Christmas was founded on. It's not what Christmas was about. Mm-hmm. It's not what the whole point of it all is. So to me, and I know it's unpopular, no more gifts on Christmas.
No, yeah.
To every single retailer in America, but no more gifts on Christmas.
I can get on board with that. I can get on board with, hey, listen, adults, if you want something, you buy it yourself. I understand getting the kid a gift.
Of course.
I'm with that. But yeah, it gets to a point where adults, and or I can see if.
Like, if I bought you a gift, what would I get you that you don't already need for yourself?
Yeah.
I can't even afford to get you a candle.
I would be thankful. But it's like, man, you could have gave that to, I don't know, Munson. You could have bought something for Munson.
Yeah, give it to this Brooks, so he can't afford it.
If it ain't on the gram, it ain't legit.
If it's not on the gram, it didn't happen. So if I go to a concert, I got to take a picture that I was at a concert because I was never there if I didn't take a picture.
If you don't take a picture of it and put it on the gram, you wasn't there.
You two are what's wrong with this country right now.
I don't do it personally.
Yeah, I don't care if you have tickets, too, and you show them the next day to everybody.
I don't care if you show me the tickets.
What about a picture of yourself sleeping in a bed or a picture of your food? You cool with that, Derek?
No, I'm definitely not cool with that.
That's what I thought.
Oh, but it didn't happen if you didn't put it on the gram.
Did you eat? Because I didn't see it on that gram.
There you have it, the Daily Rewind, courtesy of Marquise Munson Productions there, back there. Or just Munson
Productions. I just thought about something.
Munson Productions.
I just thought about something.
Not
we technically didn't do this show because I didn't put it on the ground.
That's mind blowing stuff there, guys.
So technically, this show never happened. Hold on.
Marquise is weird.
I know.
You guys with the gram, you're weird. Yeah. Okay? All right. You know what you are? Marquise Stillman.
It never happened unless you put it on the gram. Never happened.
Put it on the gram now, though. Look at it. Put it on the gram now.
All right, fellas. We good. We good. We good.
Breaking,
we got it. We
breaking
got it.
News. The Titans put Ryan Succop on IR, and they sign Greg Joseph. I almost said Greg Anthony. Greg Joseph.
That's a hell of a sign.
Really good free throw shooter. Greg Joseph will now be the kicker for your Tennessee Titans. He's on the Browns in 2018, made 17 out of 20, played on the Carolina Panthers practice squad this year for a period of time. So the Titans have finally admitted that Ryan Succop is not 100%. His season is over. Greg Joseph will be your kicker moving forward on kickoffs because Santoso's gone and field goals for the final two games, which could be incredibly important over the last two games.
Critical.
So there you have it. For Derek Mason and Munson Productions, my name is Braden Gall. Thanks for listening, everybody. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, stay warm, and I love you.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.